everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 18, the season finale of season 5 of One Tree Hill, Woo! Titled What Comes After the Blues, which, fun fact, is a song by Magnolia Electric Company.
All right, then.
Yes.
Niall's heard of them.
Yes. So we open with something I totally forgot happens, and it's adorable. It is
so good.
It is Jamie with Gavin DeGraw.
Sure.
And they get to sing the theme song together. And it's great. It's so good. It's so cute.
I fully forgot about that.
Yep.
And it was a very nice surprise.
Yes, it was.
And it's not even like in the world of the show. Like, it's not like, okay, Jamie, let's leave the recording studio to Gavin DeGraw now. It's literally just
It was 100% pure fan service, and we were here for it.
Yeah,
I freaked out the first time I saw it, and I freaked out now because I forgot it happened. And it's like they're apologizing, like, we're really sorry, we got rid of the theme song for season 5, so here you go, have this one for this episode. Thanks so much.
We got rid of the theme song for season 5, and also season 5 is only 18 episodes because of the writer's strike. We're sorry.
Yes. So then there's a lot of montages this episode. I'll just preface that. There is a lot of shit that goes down. So buckle up, kids. It's a bumpy ride. Yeah, for the season finale.
We're missing, what, like 6 episodes out of the season?
Between 22 and 24 is what they usually did. So 22 is the usual. So 4 to 6 episodes, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So they made up for all the episodes we didn't get this season with a Gavin DeGraw cameo. And too many montages.
Yes. So we open the actual show with Lucas doing a montage of him doing nothing but drinking and passing out in his bed, because apparently that's all he's done for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now. Great. Or a couple of days. Who knows how long it's been. Water balloons are being thrown at everybody, including Girl Scouts and old men playing chess. Dan continues to be real creepy and check on the poor Reverend, who is first in line for the heart transplant. Brooke crosses off another day on her calendar until Angie is leaving. We see there's like 8 days left. She's got like a week left with her. And Mouth is being snubbed at work. Haley wakes up to Chester in her bed. So I don't know how that rabbit got there, but okay, great. And Nathan continues to work out and train at the gym. And we see Jamie standing at the edge of the pool, looking out at the pool that he hasn't been in since his accident. And Millie walking to work like a badass, dodging every water balloon that gets thrown at her and going to work at Close Over Bros. It's fine.
Yep. She's just like, la, 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 I'm Millie. This is normal.
Just another day in Tree Hill.
Right? God. And then the first kind of real piece of dialogue we get is Jamie in Lucas's room telling him he thinks he drinks too much. And just like when he said it to his dad in the first episode, in the last episode, Lucas also replies, I think you're right.
Brothers.
Yes. And, Nathan and Jamie are there to check in on Lucas because they haven't seen him in a few days. And Nathan's like, dude, it smells like ass in here. Jamie's like, and rotten cheese and bad breath. And he's all about that until Lucas drags his head out from under the pillow to see that Lucas now has a mohawk, which Jamie thinks is the coolest thing ever.
Lucas Scott's hair journey in this series, in this full television show, has never been quite this bad.
did you ever think on the Lucas Scott hair bingo card, mohawk would be one that you'd be able to check off on there?
You know, I figured it was on the bingo card for a reason, but I just hoped it was like a red herring.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Here we are. Mohawk.
The heartbreak and mohawk.
And Jamie loves it. Jamie thinks it's so cool. He's like, it's like you've got a tail on your head. Yes. But then Nathan sends Jamie to go get Lucas some water, and Nathan tells him, you know, he knows things suck right now, but don't make it worse, because you've already been suspended from the school board for 10 games because of the incident. And the darkness that you're feeling right now doesn't have any answers. Been there, done that.
I loved this one-sided conversation between the two right. of them. Like,
it was very good.
Yeah.
It was time for the little brother to give the older brother the wisdom of like, dude, no.
Yep.
Don't do this. Been there, done that. Not fun.
Yeah. This season.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Then we go to Brooke, who is going to take Angie to the beach and accidentally refers to her as her mother. Until the phone rings and we find out it's the agency saying Angie has to go home today. And Brooke's like, no, she has 8 more days with me. And they're like, no. The flight's going out today. She's leaving today.
It's not how that works, Brooke.
Right? Yeah. Then Haley goes to see Lucas. First of all, laughs at his mohawk. And second of all, tells him that she's his best friend and they're going to go for a drive because he needs it. And she says, but not before we shave off this mohawk, because I have a 5-year-old son who wants to look just like his uncle Lucas, as she literally starts shaving his head.
Yep.
Yep. And we immediately then cut to Jamie, who has styled his hair in a mohawk, to which Nathan makes fun of. He's like, no, dude, nobody wears the faux hawk anymore. Jamie's like, I'm bringing it back. Yeah. And he asks him how his comeback is going. And Nathan's like, don't call it a comeback. But Jamie's like, Q does. He's like, yeah, Q's wrong. And Jamie's just very excited and asks his dad, you know, what team do you think you're going to play for when you join the NBA again, daddy? And Nathan sits him down and says he's probably never going to play for the NBA again. But Jamie's like, oh, no, I know you will. Absolutely. And Nathan then sees Jamie's new ball, which is a pair of rolled up socks, because apparently Jamie lost his ball. And immediately changes the subject and says, I'm going to go feed Chester.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That kid. It hit me today how, like, the actor who plays Jamie is very good. Like, just a very good child actor. Mm-hmm. But whoever is writing his dialogue, whoever is writing for Jamie Scott should also have gotten paid so much money for it. Like... Mm-hmm. Because it's like precocious kids dialogue, right? But it's genuinely funny as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he was just a couple years older. I think they said he was like 6 or 7 playing a 4 and 5-year-old for it. And they, because the drama queens just got now to season 5, I think this week. And we're talking about how like professional that kid was the entire time. And how good he was, because most, you know, some kid actors, they're just super over the top and super like blah, all the time. Right. He was just very good, very professional, did the dialogue and did it very well. So, yeah, no, he's a great actor. It's kind of fantastic.
It also probably helps that he didn't have other kids to feed off of.
Very true.
So, like, there wasn't the chaos that comes with child actors because there was only one of them.
Yes. And my favorite story from it was the fact they started doing a swear jar and Paul Johansson literally wrote a $100 check and said, here's my advance. Yep.
Yeah.
Then we cut back to Lucas and Haley, who are going for that drive that Haley told them they had to go on. And as they're driving, Haley asks Lucas, she says, did you tell Peyton you hated her? And he says, yeah, I did, but I was drunk, kind of. And Haley just says, God, Luke, you can be a jackass sometimes.
Sometimes?
Well, even his best friend knows to call him out on his shit. It's fine. Yeah. And she then tells him, okay, nope, stop here. And he's like, but it's a green light. She says, stop here, Lucas. And of course, he's a smart man, so he does what he's told. And he's like, what are we waiting on? I don't know what we're doing. It's a green light. And next thing you know, a water balloon smashes on top of the car, and she's like, oh, that looks kind of like Peyton's heart, doesn't it?
A massive water balloon,
the biggest,
massive. I might add.
Yes.
She's
yes.
been saving that.
Yes. And Haley gets out of the car and immediately goes up to the roof and finds Peyton there, and Peyton's like, you told me this would make me feel better. And Haley just gives her a big hug and tells her it's going to be okay. So yes, Peyton is the one who's been throwing water balloons at everybody, including Girl Scouts and old men. Yeah. Which I just think is hilarious.
The Girl Scouts was the funniest one.
Yeah. And also Peyton throwing water balloons at Girl Scouts is somehow wildly on brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And then they cut to Marshall, but when they come back, Haley is still on the roof taking out the box of predictions from high school when Lucas comes up waving a white flag. And Haley tells him it's safe to come up. Peyton's gone, but he really does need to apologize to her. And Lucas immediately sees a water balloon and tries to change the subject and reminisce about their water balloon fights and how he saw Haley's tattoo for the first time, which gives one of the best lines. And she's like, I remember when you saw my tattoo when we hit the water balloon fight. And he says, you mean your trashy little tramp stamp? And she says, I am barely your friend right now.
I had forgotten about the tattoo. Uh-huh. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Haley has 23. On her lower back, it's fine.
Yep.
Love that for her.
Fine.
Yes.
My
yes.
favorite part of that is, you know that at this point, Jamie has seen it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And asked the question.
Uh-huh. Well, he knows it's his dad.
That's what children do, is they point out potentially awkward things and ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think Jamie's just, you know, he just knows that's his dad's jersey number, so he's all cool with it. He's like, oh, cool, mom's got dad's jersey number too. Great. Great, great, great. Cool, cool, cool. But yes, then as he's trying to change the subject, Haley basically says, no, you need to be honest with yourself. And whether it's Lindsay, Peyton, or Brooke, or whatever it is, you shouldn't hide your heart from any of this of what's going on and just figure it out and deal with it.
Well, I just enjoyed, Ben and I were talking about this when we were watching it. She goes, if it's Lindsay, fine. If it's Peyton, great. If it's Brooke, please. Like her word yep. choices.
The word choices were there. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Then Millie comes to take Mouth to lunch, who we really see now is basically just a pariah at work. He's doing nothing but cleaning toilets and washing vans and not actually doing any news work whatsoever. So he's bummed about that.
Yeah.
Dan goes to visit the good Reverend again. And we realize he's been kind of visiting him every day since that first visit last episode. And he brings flowers and he tells the nurse, oh, yeah, he looks really uncomfortable right now. I was just adjusting things. And she's like, oh, here, do you want to give him this pillow? And Dan holds it above his head and goes, I just might.
God. Once again, how do people in this town not automatically know who that is? He was their mayor. That nurse has been a nurse long enough in Tree Hill, probably, that she should know who that is.
Yes.
Who knows?
Why is anyone letting him around people that are innocent and vulnerable?
Helpless? Helpless? Yeah.
Yeah. The security in this hospital from season one has always been lacking.
Yeah, Treatment Hospital sucks. Let's not forget the entire side series we did about how awful Tree Hill Hospital is.
Yeah.
That's true. Still so, is.
There's that. God, yes. Then Nathan catches Deb doing the walk of shame and gives her a hard time about it. And that's one of my other favorite lines. Oh, is this the guy you met on the porn site? She's like, it's erotica. Like, oh my God, Deb.
She is very defensive.
She's
for many reasons that he's not even aware of.
Right?
There is a difference between porn and erotica. I'm sorry.
I mean, there is. You're right.
There absolutely is.
Team Deb.
But it's just funny how defensive she gets, and you know she's not getting defensive because of where she met him.
No.
Right.
No, because if Nathan only knew.
It was a little bummer. I know we were fitting like 4 episodes of plot into the season finale, but it was a little bit of a bummer that Deb and Skills didn't get caught by anyone this episode. I was waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. Then, trust me, we'll get there. There's season six, honey. We're fine. Yes. Then he goes outside as Deb goes upstairs and he sees Jamie's basketball in the pool.
Yep.
So we kind of figured out that's probably what was going on. But, you know, now that we see it, Nathan's putting two and two together. And he goes upstairs and asks Jamie if he wants to go take a swim. And Jamie just says, no, thank you. And he says, you know, you used to love it. You haven't swam since your accident and it might be fun. And Jamie just every time, just more politely and more sternly, though, just says, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm once again asking what month it is. Thanks. Because all signs would lead us to believe we're now in summer.
Yep.
But they're still in school.
Still playing basketball. They have 11 games left of the season.
I'm so confused.
I think this is the first half of the school year. That's what I'm going to say it is.
I'm asking what month it is. Because Jamie's birthday is in June.
Mapleberry 32nd. In the good year of our Lord, 3038.
Yes.
That is the time and date. Okay, moving on. Brooke goes to take Angie to Dr. Copeland just to make sure she's healthy enough to travel. Brooke's secretly hoping she's not, but she is. She's fine. And he says she's totally healthy and Brooke has done an amazing thing. And when the silence kicks in at home, she needs to remember that. But it's time for Angie to go home.
Yeah. I like his diagnosis was, yep, well, what I can see here is you have a very cute baby that you've grown attached to.
Exactly. Yes. He's not just a pretty face. He's also kind of smart. It's fine.
Good old Crease Beatum.
On. Nathan is at practice with Q. Q starts to, go at him a little bit and go to and Nathan gets super frustrated. And Q asks Jamie to go get him some waters. But then tells him, but hey, if you see any hot psycho nannies, you should run right back in here. Okay. And Jamie just goes, not funny, Q, not funny. But Jamie, it was really funny.
It was very funny.
So good. Then Q asks Nathan why he's scared. And they get into a whole argument about Nathan's like, I'm not scared. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Blah, 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 blah. They start screaming at each other until they realize Jamie's watching.
Jamie never left.
Nope.
Like, this is the second time today that an adult has asked me to get a bottle of water to get me out of the room.
Right? He's for, like, I'm not falling for this shit again.
Nope.
No.
He's nosy. As five. All children are.
Yeah, he's five. Then it immediately cuts to Nathan and Jamie in the car as they're leaving the gym. And Jamie admits to Nathan that he's afraid to go in the pool. And he tells Nathan it's okay if he doesn't play basketball anymore. Nothing like a wake-up call from your five-year-old.
Yeah,
I know. Also, nothing like a wake-up call from your five-year-old and realizing that he's admitting to you that he's scared of something so mm-hmm. that you'll admit that you're scared.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they keep referring to Jamie's, his accident, which mm-hmm. is the same language they used about Nathan's mm-hmm. injury at the beginning of the season. So, yeah. No, there were parallels.
I will just say this episode, I love so much the acting chemistry and the work that James and Jackson did this entire episode because Nathan and Jamie together this episode were so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Every scene
we haven't gotten a lot of them, just the two of them this season.
Yeah.
And granted, at the beginning, that was because, Nathan was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But like the last time we got a really nice moment. Just the two of them, like this was in episode 2 or 3 when he was doing the soapbox derby or whatever.
Yeah. And they did a little more. I mean, they had the workout last episode where he couldn't get up the hill, which was cute. But it's just I feel like this entire episode, it's nothing but Nathan and Jamie. It's like that's their trajectory this episode, which is very, very cute.
Yeah, because Nate was either. Yeah, they had two or three episodes at the beginning towards the beginning of the season between him being drunk and being kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
Right. You
know, like, there just wasn't a lot of time for the two of them.
Yep. So I love that. But then we go to Peyton and Haley at the recording studio, and Peyton tells Haley that Mia sent her an email that kind of weirded her out because she says she met a guy who says he knew Ellie back in the day, which has got Peyton a little weirded out, but that's okay. And Haley tells her she's struggling to write this new song that she liked. And Peyton says something about, you know, I really hate you or something like that for lyric ideas. Because obviously Peyton's still really down about what happened between her and Lucas. Haley then says, fine, okay, I'm going to pull out the big guns and I'm going to break best friend confidentiality. And I'm going to show you this. We made predictions every year in high school. And it's kind of funny how Peyton starts to say like, oh, well, that's kind of lame. And Haley's like, no, no, no. You wish you would have done it. And Peyton's like, yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. And Haley just basically reads out all of Lucas's predictions, including the one that says he'll try again with Brooke Davis, which is hilarious. But every single other one of those predictions was about Peyton. And she says, you know, Lucas has a lifetime of love for you. It's all written down right here. And Peyton says, you know, writing something down and acting on it is two different things. But Haley says, well, maybe that's why he's writing it down, because he can't actually say it. But that's what he actually means.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Then Lucas is working on a new project now that, you know, he's not drinking every day. He is making a map of the United States with old license plates,
cool.
Which is cool. Right? When he gets
well, at least he's got a hobby.
He's got a hobby. Is he's not a coach anymore, or at least not for 10 more games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. God. He gets a knock at the door and he says, oh, come in. And it's Lindsay. And she tells him she's there because he wouldn't answer his phone the last few days. And she tells him why she's there is because the book is done. Everything's done. He disagrees. And he says, you know, the ending's not right. And I still need to write the dedication. She's like, the ending's perfect. And you can email me the dedication. She says, but this is goodbye. And goodbye should be done in person, not over the phone. And she tells him goodbye. And as she leaves, he asks her if she ever misses him. But Lindsay just says she should go and leaves. And we then see Lucas's phone with Brooke leaving him a voicemail. Yep. Which then quickly transitions to Brooke taking Angie to the airport and accidentally leaving the purple monkey behind.
Yeah.
Yep. Then we get a real quick scene between Nathan and Jamie where Jamie's looking at Nathan's trophies and Nathan tells him he'll have trophies of his own someday. And he tells him to never be afraid of being great and that he loves him. Love that.
Yeah.
And then we get a funny scene of Mouth and Millie walking down the hallway as they go to lunch. And Steve, the new sports guy, introduces himself to Millie. He says, hi there, I'm Steve. And Millie says, hi. Here's the better sports guy. And she points to Mouth and they leave.
Oh, a bad bitch.
I love it. Love it so much.
Yeah. You want Millie on your side.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Millie is sweet, but she will ruin you if you stand in the way of someone she loves. And it's perfect. And I love her.
Yes. Then, okay, now we get another montage where everything bounces really quickly. So here we go, kids. One, Jamie is getting ready to go in the pool. We think, maybe. Dan is telling the Reverend that he's scared. And if the Reverend would just, quote, take one for the team and die, he will use the rest of his time for redemption. Dear God, Dan. Dear God. Take one for the team. Really, Dan? Really?
We all know that at this point Dan is desperate for redemption, but good God.
Yeah.
Yes. Brooke arrives at the airport with Angie and hands her off to the agency and says goodbye to her with tears in her eyes. Jamie then conquers his fear and jumps in the pool as he says, I'm James Lucas Scott and I'm not afraid.
Hell yeah.
And he jumps in. It's great. And Nathan and Haley follow right after him and jump in the pool.
Their shoes on.
Uh-huh. Spontaneous, Jesse. It's spontaneous.
Sure. Fine.
But it's still gross. I don't like it either.
So gross. I can handle, like, wet denim is the worst. But wet shoes. They're both wearing very big sneakers. Mm-hmm. Like, this, the ick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really bugged me.
Yep. Then we go back to Brooke, who turns to leave and sees Lucas standing there at the airport. He says he got her message, and she says, "I told you not to come." And he says, "I know." And he just gives her a big hug as she bursts into tears.
Yeah. I will say, pretty relieved that Brooke did not kidnap that baby. that's where I thought this was going. Because the agency called, said, "We're taking her today." And Brooke said, "Yeah, sure, fine," hung up. And she turned to Angie and said, "We can't let that happen now, can we?" And I'm like, Brooke is going to steal this fucking baby. Brooke is about to disappear with this child. And even when she was walking out the door, she had bags that looked like Brooke bags. She had a bag that was an Angie bag, and she had two bags that looked like Brooke bags. I'm like, oh, Brooke is running away with this baby. I was kind of relieved that it didn't happen.
Yes, no, she returned the baby. It's all good. She didn't break the law. We're good. Nobody kidnapped anybody. There's only one kidnapper this season. Her name was Carrie.
Yep. Yeah, which you never know. You never know with the show. You can't blame me.
No. Then we get a quick scene of Peyton painting something on the river court.
Yep, great. And it's not at all crazy, super unhinged.
Everything's fine. And then we go to Dan again, who is looking at the card Jamie gave him. And he then puts the card down and grabs a pillow and goes to start to smother the Reverend, but instead puts it behind his head and just tells him that he needs a sign of hope. Great.
Like, even when Dan is like actively trying to get redemption,
he still considers murder.
Murder is never off the table.
Nope, never.
And the moral choice in his book is pleading with a reverend to just die already.
Yes,
an unconscious reverend.
Yeah, pleading with a comatose man who needs a heart transplant.
Yes.
That, yes, you just need to die.
When that is the most moral of your options for redemption, look at your life, look at your choices. Mm-hmm. You know, in the words of the sassy gay friend, look at your life, look at your choices.
Yes. Then Haley watches happily as Nathan and Jamie play in the pool. It's a very sweet. I love the scene of the three of them in the pool. It's so cute.
So sweet.
It's very good. It's like, okay, they're good. We started the season, them not so good. They're good now.
Yeah.
They're good now. We love it. And then Mouth and Millie get back to the station after lunch, and he tells her he doesn't regret erasing those tapes of Lucas, because Lucas was already down enough and he did need that in his life. But then he asks what he should do next. And Millie just tells him, as they're having a conversation, one of the other station guys comes in and asks Mouth another fact about sports and all this kind of stuff. And obviously it's just alluding to that Mouth obviously is the most qualified person for the position, but obviously was overlooked because of what he did. And Millie just tells him, "You go to Omaha, you take the job in Omaha." And he's like, "But not without you." And she says, "Then I'll go with you." She's like, "You do that?" "Yes, I would go anywhere with you, Marvin and McFadden." And they're adorable.
Ugh.
Cute. Love yes. It.
Cutest babies.
Yes. Then Brooke sits at home holding the purple monkey as Lucas arrives at the river court to see Peyton has drawn or painted a massive comet on the river court with lyrics from Love Song by The Cure. And signed her name, in case he didn't know who it was from.
Yeah, just in case. It was too subtle.
You know, hey. She does like a grand gesture every once in a while.
Yes, this is true.
Yes.
So, I think I brought this up at one point very early on and was like, I'll explain more about this story later when I can. And that time has now come. When I was a senior in high school, I had a friend that was interested in going to UNCW for college. And so we went and I toured the school with her. And then we went to the River Court. And it was the first time either of us had been there. And they were filming that day, which was very exciting. And we did not see, you know, Hillary Burton, because this was not, this was after they had painted this on the River Court, but the writing and everything was still, like, it was still there. Like, it was very faded. Like, you could tell that they'd done their best to, like, wash it off. But somewhere on my Facebook, I'll have to find it, there is a photo of a very faded Always on, painted on the River Court.
Oh.
That I took a picture of that day. So I'll have to find it. But, yeah. So it was, but it was very cool because by the time that we went, this episode had aired. So it was just, it was really kind of just like nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's,
love that.
That's awesome.
Yes. Then, okay. Then we go to later that day where Jamie runs in after playing in the pool with Deb chasing him after a towel because he's now, she can't get him out of the pool now that he's all good with it. And Nathan tells him to go dry off and get dressed because they're going back to the gym. And he's like, really? He's like, yes. He's like, okay. So he runs off and Haley tells Nathan that he still makes her heart race and that her heart is still so full of love for him and their family. And then her Ben phone.
Ben tried really hard to ruin this and said she needed to go see a doctor because it sounded like a heart condition. And I'm like, you need to shut your face right now.
Yes. And then her phone rings and she looks down and she says, oh, it's my other boy. And he's like, okay, go get him. Yeah, it's fine. And so she joins Lucas at the River Court to see Peyton's declaration of the comet and the cure. And he tells her Lindsay was here and he also saw Brooke today, which she comments then on the trifecta of his love life. And Lucas just says he's thinking about taking off for a while, but Haley tells him to stop running. And she tells him to let go of all the dark weight he's carrying. And she tells him, you know how people romanticize all of the pain and garbage and say how beautiful it is with love and everything. And she's, but it's not. It's just pain and garbage and it sucks. And love is the better alternative to that. And it's not overrated. And the only problem in life is not having it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Haley is really filling Karen's shoes this episode and being everyone's mom.
Mm-hmm. She is.
She is.
She was the mom friend when they were teenagers, too.
Yeah.
And it's just been amplified by the fact that she is now an actual mother.
Exactly.
She's got the words of wisdom to back it up now, too.
Yep.
Yeah. She's got the monologues to go with it, which is great. Then we then see Lindsay talking to someone on the phone who asks if she told Lucas. And Lindsay just goes, no, I didn't, and hangs up the phone. And then Lindsay then gets the dedication to Lucas's book sent to her. And it says, to all those lost souls who have forgotten to believe in the immensity of love. And she immediately calls him and leaves him a voicemail telling him she lied to him about seeing someone else. And that the reason she did that was because she was scared of the immensity of his love for her. And she does add that, you know, he did ask if she misses him. And she says she does. It's all that she does is miss him. And we see Lucas listening to that voicemail a little later on. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a prediction.
You want to say it now or you want to say it at the end?
I will let it be up to you two.
Let's save it for the end
because I'm going to ask you the question anyway.
Uh-huh.
Saving it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Then Lucas goes to see Brooke and asks why she hasn't told people that, you know, Angie's leaving. And Brooke basically says, I just didn't want to feel that vulnerable around people. And Lucas just tells her that's how he always sees her, and it's beautiful. And he tells her that she saves people all the time, and he loves that about her, and asks her to call him when she hears that Angie made it home safe. And he goes to leave, and she tells him they've been through a lot together and gives him the purple monkey. Brooke tells him that she loves him, and he replies with the same.
fine. I can't do this again. I can't do
Neither Brooke and Lucas we. Again. It's okay.
So, yes. Then at the news station, they are getting ready for the evening news broadcast when Steve, the new sports guy, says, oh, no, I don't need the script. I'll have it on the teleprompter. Watch a master work. I'm a professional. It's fine. And Mouth is in the control room with the station manager who tells him that, you know, that could have been you sitting there as the sports guy, Mouth. And the broadcast starts and Steve, the new sports guy, starts to read off the teleprompter until the prompter goes out and he panics. It's real bad. He freezes. He panics. Good. He doesn't know what to say. And everyone's freaking out because they can't catch anyone else. Cause one of the other news guys has his pants off cause he had spilt coffee on it.
The mascot for UCLA is a Bruin, which is like a cute little bear thing.
Like, yep. Yes. It'd be like if Jesse and I had to, you know, wing a sports segment.
Yeah.
Right, Jesse? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Basically.
Yeah. Yep.
That is exactly what it was.
Yes. Yes. So, but Mouth hops on to the in-ear mic for Steve and defeats him exactly what to say to fill the time, and he gets him to commercial and everyone's very happy and they applaud Mouth, and you know, everyone's really happy, and Mouth tells them all thank you, and for his encore he quits.
King.
Well, yep. You did miss Mouth is Steve is perfectly saying what Mouth is feeding him.
Oh yes.
And then Mouth says, good, you've made it, now just say
sign up,
yeah. Sign up, say your name.
Your name. Yeah. Yeah.
He says, blah blah blah. I'm my name.
Yep. Yep.
Comedy Gosh. Gold.
It's just I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yep. Very yep. That.
Yep. Very that. Very that. Yes. Then Peyton is on the phone with Mia and she tells her to ask the guy who says he knew Ellie to call Peyton as soon as he can. And she says that she has to go when Lucas comes in, and he starts off by saying he doesn't hate her. He tells her it was hard to let her go, and it was even harder seeing her come back into his life. And she tells him it's the same for her, and she has this dream where they're back in that hotel room. And when he proposes to her, she says yes every time. And Lucas says it's just a dream, but Peyton replies and says, it's my dream.
Yeah. I don't know how another four seasons of this bullshit. I don't understand why or how. That's my mental state after watching this finale.
Then Lucas finishes the map of the license plates and that he's been working on all episode, and he grabs his bag and he leaves for the airport. Haley is recording a new song, which is actually my all-time favorite song that has ever been on this show ever, ever. It's called Feel This. It's amazing. Everyone go listen to it. It's great.
Very good.
Yes. Dan comes to see the Reverend to find out that the Reverend is dead. So he took one for the team.
Yep.
Took one for the team.
Thanks, Rev.
Or did he?
And Dan is now number one on the donor list. Great. Great, great, great.
Cool.
Q continues to practice with Nathan, and Nathan actually gets past Q and dunks the basket to the shock of everyone, including Nathan. And they're like, where'd that come from? He's like, I don't know, but I think I can do this now. Great, 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 great. And then Dan is leaving the hospital as an old man drops his cane. He goes to pick it up and help him get to the sidewalk. And he tells them to be careful as he backs into the street and is hit by a car
at full force.
Full speed.
That should have killed him.
When I saw him backing up, I said, oh, and this is when he gets hit by a car. And then I stood up and started applauding. I'm not going to lie. You can ask Ben. There was a round of applause in my living room when Dan got hit by the car.
Yes. And we see Dan lying on the sidewalk or the side of the road as his pager for his new heart starts to beep.
How's number one, Danny boy? How's it treating ya?
Dear God, dear God. And then finally, Lucas is sitting in the airport and picks up his phone. Brooke, Peyton, and Lindsay all answer their phones. We infer that one of them is talking to Lucas, and Lucas tells them he's at the airport, and he has two tickets to Vegas, and he asks if they want to get married tonight. And the episode
ends. I hated them for this.
It was bad.
I hated them when it happened. I hate them now. Like,
because we had to wait like 4 whole months to find out who the fuck did. Called.
Well, and the thing is like, if the show had been a full season, like we'd gotten those extra 4 or 5 episodes, they probably still would have had to make us wait a month because of like March Madness or something. Because that's typically around the time like when they go on like a month long break in the spring.
Yeah.
No, but I hated them for it then. I hated them for it now. So it's just, ugh.
Yep.
Why?
Cliffhanger.
They hate you. And they
cliffhanger, and they knew they already had a season 6, which is why they did it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's the episode, kids. What did we think?
I hope Dan's dead.
Me too. It was a good finale.
It's a good finale.
I will say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved all of the hard work that Haley put in this episode.
Yep.
To fix everybody? Yes.
Yes, to fix Lucas? Everyone, to get everyone's heads out of their asses, because it wasn't just Lucas who needed his head pulled out of his ass. It was there were several people.
Yeah.
But it was mostly Lucas, and then Peyton was a close second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were her two main projects this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just, I liked this finale. It was.
It's not the most explosive finale we've ever had, literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they did an all right job though. Like, giving us some cliffhangers that we cared about.
Yep.
I was very happy to see Dan hit by a car. I'll just say that.
Again?
I forgot it happens. And I jumped like it gave me the same jump scare that it did however many years ago it was, because I fully forgot that he gets hit by that SUV.
15 years.
I didn't need the number. Okay.
Like, yep. Yeah. It's been 15 years. It's fine.
I didn't need that number.
Yeah.
Anyway. No.
Yeah.
Jesse, you mentioned something about a prediction earlier.
Sure did. I think Lindsay's pregnant.
Oh.
Oh.
That is not what I was expecting you to say.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, the no, I didn't tell him phone call right before Luke emails her, it got me thinking that she found out some news after the wedding that never finished. And, So I think Lindsay's pregnant. And I don't necessarily think that Lindsay is on the other end of that phone call. And I think that is where the drama is going to come in season 6.
I was going to say, who do you think is on the other end of that phone call?
I think it's Brooke, and I'm pissed about it.
Why? Why do you think it's Brooke? Not why are you pissed about it? Because that is the correct answer, is to be pissed about it. But why do you think it's Brooke?
Because I think he is in a mindset to make bad decisions. And both he and Brooke are vulnerable. And it's definitely not Peyton. Like, I'm not even considering that. But I think he is sad enough about Lindsay, and like, trauma bonding is not the right word, but is like in vulnerable land with Brooke enough that he would make this bad decision.
But so. Do you think that she's in a bad enough place where she'd show up if it is her?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see in season 6, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
We'll.
Coolio. Yeah, I like this episode a lot. I like where everyone goes with it. I'm bummed we didn't get a lot of skills. We just get skills at the very beginning when Deb leaves. But that's all right. That's all right. He's not going anywhere.
He's also arguably the only person who's happy right now.
Yep.
Yep.
So he doesn't, like, there was nothing for them to wrap up with him at the end of this season because it's because it's the season finale. It's too soon for him and Deb to get caught. If they're going to get also, caught at all.
He just got a new job because he's head coach of the Dree Hill Ravens for 10 games.
Right. This is true. Exactly. So he's the only one that's like, that didn't need closure.
Yeah.
At the end of this episode.
Yeah. So.
Whereas everyone else is sad in some way, shape, or form.
Yes. 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 So, coolio. Anything else we want to add before we wrap this up, kids?
No.
Do you think there will be a wedding first episode of season 6, Jesse?
I think there's going to be some Vegas times. I think it's going to be another wedding-ish interruptus situation for Tree Hill, potentially.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. And another failed wedding. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us. We will see you guys next week for when we do our special season 5 recap episode where we talk about everything in season 5, what we liked, what we didn't like, and everything in between. But until then, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run. Rate us 5 stars. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. If you have a question, comment, or concern, hit us up on Instagram. It's where we live most often. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays. We watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.